This might be a little different. I'm not used to seeing anybody. Nancy said you do better when you're there by yourself. I don't know what that was all about, but that's what she said.
I especially love to hear you.
So we're going to start with a question this morning. And what we're going to talk about a little bit is the way the Holy Spirit convicts us as Christians or as believers. So we want to start with this. What does it mean when we are experiencing in our life godly convictions? So I'm going to give you just a little bit about what it does for us, maybe not quite the meaning yet, but we're going to get to the meaning. But it means that the indwelling Holy Spirit, when as believers we have these godly convictions, it means that the indwelling Holy Spirit is wanting us or trying to bring us in to a deeper relationship with God. That's what it's all about in our life. So it does this by guiding us through the righteousness of Christ. So one of the ways that it does this is it begins to reveal those things in our life that are not pleasing unto God so that we might turn those things over to Him and come closer to Him in our life. So it prompts repentance, and we know that repentance brings spiritual growth. And it does this through the beliefs that we're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, beliefs that are unshakable, beliefs that are unmovable. So that means that as believers, these personal convictions that we are having help us to endure the trials, the tribulations, the temptations, all these things that are thrown up against us in our life. So through the divine Word of God and by the leadership of the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then that brings these personal convictions to life. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know these convictions. We wouldn't know what they were in our life. These things that we think of as our thoughts or as the little person that sits on your shoulder and talks to you, we wouldn't think of them as that. But that brings these things to life so that these convictions, they allow us to stand strong in the Lord through the things that are going on in our life. The Bible says, stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So this is what proves our faith. And when I say proves our faith, this is what enhances our faith or shows that our faith is proven because God is testing our faith. So without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, then we would be very indecisive in the choices that we make in our life. And we would make a lot more bad choices than we do. So that means we would be easily led astray by the false doctrines, the deceptions, the things that are going on out here in the world. Our selfish desires would take over because we would be following after more worldly gain than we would be following after godly gain. So we need godly convictions in our life. We need this to happen so that we might stay on the path that God wants us on in our life. So we're going to start in the book of John this morning, the book of John chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse 7. And we're going to, what we want to do is we want to learn, what does it mean to experience these godly convictions? How do we know we're experiencing these godly convictions? And then what are we going to do when we begin to experience them in our life? So the book of John, chapter 16, starting with verse 7. And here's what he says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Christ was talking to his disciples. He said, because they didn't want him to go, but Christ said, yes, I must go. I've got to go away, because he said, if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come. So Christ was going to go away. They were going to send back the Comforter, which was the Holy Spirit. He said, the Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So let's just stop right there for a minute. So as believers now, we've come to know that God's greatest gift to mankind was what? Was Christ. And it was a result of the sacrifice that Christ made upon the cross, because God knew that mankind would never understand this great gift without a comforting spirit to lead us. We would never understand what our salvation is truly all about. We wouldn't understand why did Christ have to die on the cross? Why was he resurrected? But through the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we understand this, or we begin to understand this in our life. So that means that by faith, we accepted this free gift. He instilled within us his Holy Spirit so we can now experience what it is that we have. That we accepted, we are now able to experience that in our life. So we're not trying to maintain, even though we do try to maintain sometimes this level of comfort in our life without Christ, but God doesn't want us to have to do that. God wants us to be able to maintain a level of comfort and peace in our life through the wisdom, the knowledge, the leadership, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This allows us to build our spiritual understanding. When we can see the truth, when we can know the truth, when we can find comfort in the truth, and this can only come through the workings of our godly conviction. So we're going to go back to John here, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at three types of convictions. Christ mentioned three types of convictions here when we look at this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read them real quick, and then we'll talk about them for a minute. But in verse 9, 10, and 11, he said, the first one, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I have to go to my Father, and you see me no more. And then the third one, he says, is judgment. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So, but before we get to that, let's keep one thing in mind when we're looking at these things and thinking about these things, that the Holy Spirit was sent for who? For everybody. During this grace dispensation period, the Holy Spirit was sent back for the sinner. It was for conviction unto salvation. And if we didn't have that, we probably wouldn't be saved. But for the believer, then Christ personalized this. He said, here's what he said. He said, I will send him to you, specifically to each one personally as a believer, because God wants us to see the importance of that personal relationship that it is going to bring, that the Holy Spirit is going to bring between us and the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit mediates that. So we have to remember that this just isn't something people say, oh yeah, when I got saved, I might have received the Holy Spirit. You did receive the Holy Spirit. It was a personal indwelling that God gave unto us, and he said, these are the things that he's here to do. It to convict you of sin, to convict you of righteousness, to convict you of judgment. So these things we need to hold on to in our life. So he says, of sin because they do not believe on me. Now, this can go both ways. He's first talking about the non-believer, and then he's talking about the believer. So the Holy Spirit works to convict those who refuse, who reject the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It reveals our unbelief. It brings us to realize that there is a need for a Savior. It's meant to cleanse us. It's meant to heal us. It's meant to show us our lack of faith. It shows us our willful disregard for Christ and God and the plan of redemption. And it shows us that unbelief will lead to an eternal separation from God. So we had to understand, or we had to see all of this through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and then we accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So we accepted that the Holy Spirit can move in our life. We recognized our need for the righteousness of Christ, and then we followed after that, and we accepted his saving grace. So in Titus, in the book of Titus, here's what he says. Let's jump back there for a minute. Jump forward to Titus for just a minute. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, here's what he says. said, "But after that, the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done." Okay, so it wasn't by our own self-righteousness, but according to His mercy and grace, He saved us. God saved us by the washing of regeneration. And pay attention to this. He said, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Ghost. He said, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by His grace, reminds me, I was telling Nancy about this the other day, and these were pastors that were online, and they were being honest about things in their life. And the one, he mentioned justification, but he said he preached on justification. And you know, most preachers don't preach out of the Bible anymore. They preach out of a book of sermons. But anyhow, he preached on justification. I'm being honest. And after service, he said, a young lady from the congregation came up to me and said, "Pastor, that was a really good message about justification." But she said, "Would you explain justification to me?" And he said, I just looked at her and said, "I can't, because I don't know what it means myself." And I've seen lots of testimonials on there of this happening. So this is one thing. So when we're this is one thing that the Holy Spirit convicts us in our life to help. He said to regenerate, to renew, and He said that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we understand that justification means being saved. Just if I had, you see, justification. So salvation, it's not earned of our own effort, our own self-righteous work, but it comes from God. God chooses to withhold from us the punishment that we deserve, and instead He offers us eternal life. That's what He does for us in our life. So salvation is a complete work of God. So that means it initiates a new life within us, and it initiates an ongoing work within us through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, he says, 2 Corinthians 3:18, here's what he says. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the Holy Spirit, He works within us as believers. It's a regeneration. It's an empowerment. He's a helper. He's a comforter. He leads us. He guides us. Through the promises of God's Word, He convicts us of the sinfulness that we still have in our life. Those things in our life that is not pleasing unto God. And all the while He's doing this, He is providing us with the assurance of our salvation. Because when something happens in your life as a believer, God does not want us to get discouraged and abandon our salvation, abandon the work that God is doing with us just because of sinfulness in our life. So He said He provides all of this to us. So that means it is essential in our life to build one another up within the body of Christ, to show people what the indwelling Holy Spirit is all about in our life. This doesn't only help us out, but this also brings glory unto God. So he said, the first type of conviction that you're going to experience is of sin. The second one, he says, is of righteousness. He said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So this means that through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to quit looking at our own self-achievements. Because our righteousness, our self-man-made righteousness, it is insufficient in our life. It cannot do anything for us. So that means we've received the perfect righteousness of Christ. Now, we don't always show it, but we receive that because when Christ died upon the cross, He took our sin debt, and he made sure that when we accepted that he took our sin debt, He gave us His righteousness. His righteousness that is perfect. That's how God can communicate with us. He communicates with us through the righteousness of his Son that was bestowed upon us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So we have received this in our life. So now the Spirit is working within us. And God wants us to understand and to see that. So that means that there is no false standards. There is no none of this thing, the deception. This is not the work of the Holy Spirit. So anytime this is going on within our life, we know it cannot be the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, because the Holy Spirit works within the life of the believer so that the believer can show the world the truth about Christ, the truth about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, whom God desires for everyone to accept, because this is where our salvation comes from. So in the book of Ephesians, here's what he says. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, here's what he says. That we should be to the praise of his glory those who first trusted in Christ. So see, we have to trust in Christ, and then we can be to the glory of God. In whom also ye trusted. Now here he tells you, he shows you just exactly how this works. He says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So without the word of God, which is Christ himself, you cannot be saved. It's the word of God. So he said, you trusted after you heard the word of truth. That's when you put your faith in it. He said, the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. And then he said, after that ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So is there any doubt that when you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit? He said you were sealed with the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of promise. So he tells us that. He said, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory of God. Every time, this is how we glorify God. If you don't know how to glorify God, you glorify God when you are an example of his salvation to others. That's how you glorify God. It's not by putting your money in the collection plate. It's not by doing this. It's not by doing that. But it's by letting your light so shine that others may see God's good works within you. That's how we glorify God. And we cannot do this without the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. So that means through the Holy Spirit, through the righteousness of God, we are permanently secured. We have become, we now know that God, we are God's redeemed possession. That's who we are. So that means that we're not, people say, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. If you want to be an old sinner, you just continue being an old sinner. But when I was saved by grace, I became the redeemed possession of God. So I was a sinner. I'm now a redeemed possession of God, and I was saved by grace, okay? So that's what we are. So the Spirit gave me that with this divine seal of God in my life, which guaranteed my personal eternal inheritance. That's why God wants us to see this as a personal relationship with him. So it provided us with the assurance of our salvation, which will continue as long as we live in this world until the day that we're fully redeemed when we leave this world. It's going to continue. So that means it's a process that began with the word of truth. It had to begin with the word of truth. That's what he told us there. It began with the word of truth. He said the gospel of our salvation, when we responded to the word of truth with faith, and we were sealed by the Spirit, and that set us apart from the world, away from the sinfulness of the world. You know, when Christ died upon the cross, his resurrection paid your sin debt. His crucifixion paid your sin debt. His resurrection guaranteed that sin no longer had to be a burden to us in our life. So what happened? because every day sends a burden to us in our life. God guaranteed it didn't have to be through his resurrection. So that means we're no longer separated from God, and we're learning this. As we go along in our life, we're learning this, that as we continue in grace, that this is the grace that God gave us through his son, Jesus Christ, then we no longer, pay attention to this, we no longer need to be burdened by sin. We should, that might be something we should write down, put it on your refrigerator, and every morning when you get up, say that. When you look at the refrigerator, say, I no longer need to be burdened by sin. So I'm going to go through my day knowing that, I didn't say you're going to go through your day not being burdened by sin. I'm going to say you're going to go through your day knowing you no longer need to be burdened by sin. Whether you make the choice to do so or not, that's up to you. But we no longer need to be burdened by sin. This is what the convicting power of the righteousness of God does for us in our life. Number three, last, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, here's one thing that people don't understand, because every day we're tempted through different means, but this is a promise that was given unto us, because through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, here's the promise that came out of that. Satan, pay attention, Satan has already been judged, he's already been condemned, and he's already been defeated. So every day in our life, we're still struggling with this, because we haven't accepted. See, when he says judged, condemned, and defeated, that means everything that comes up against us in our life that is thrown at us from Satan, that is thrown at us from Satan, we don't have to accept it, because it's already been judged, condemned, and defeated. So why would we let that defeat us in our life? Why would we allow that condemnation to fall upon us in our life? So, because it's already been taken care of. And it is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that allows us, or shows us as believers, that we can live in the victory of Christ. We can live knowing we're no longer condemned to eternal damnation. We can live knowing that Satan has already been defeated. You know, most people think he's not going to be defeated until the end that everything comes. But he has already been defeated, because Christ done that for us on the cross. Now, he's still around to tempt us, but we don't have to accept that. Because whatever Christ done on the cross, we have that assurance within us. So we no longer have to accept that in our life. So the Holy Spirit brings that awareness to us. He shows us what that free gift is all about. So when we express that, then it's a declaration of our faith. We show that we've shifted our focus from a focus of looking at being defeated in our life through the trials, the tribulations, the temptations, the all these things that come up against us. We show that we have shifted our focus from that, from the lustful desires of the world, and we're now focusing on our victory in Christ. If every believer would focus more upon their victory in Christ instead of being defeated by something in the world, we would live much stronger lives in God. Our relationship with God would be much greater. So that means as believers, we need this persuasion or this conviction of the Holy Spirit in our life. If we didn't have that, we would be in much worse shape than we are today. We need this in our life. God knew we needed this in our life, and we need this so that as it allows us to see and to understand the work of our salvation, and if we don't have it, then we're not going to appreciate the things that God does for us every day in our life, and we're not going to follow after his goodness. So we need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in our life. In Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, here's what he says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, meaning Christ took, you know, we sit around and say, oh, look what we're, nobody has ever gone through this in their whole life. I can tell you, you're not going through one thing in your life that Christ didn't go through when he was here upon this earth. It tells you that right here. He also himself likewise took part of the same when he was here. And he overcame it. He conquered it. So he said that through death, through his crucifixion, he might destroy him that had the power of death. And he tells you what he's talking about. Him, the devil. Okay? And he said, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now he's talking about us now. He said, we don't have to live through our whole lifetime here on this earth, we don't have to live in fear and subject to bondage. That means the things that get us down, and things we're going to go through, trials, tribulations, suffering. But the one thing that we are promised is that it does not have to get us down, because God has already made us victorious over that. So this influence that we have that comes from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in our life as a believer, it brings us to realize that, are we guilty? Yes, we're guilty, but God is just. Okay? We have to realize that. And when we realize that, then we're going to realize that, yes, we all deserve the judgment because of the sinful nature that we have. But because we know this, this is the reason we have the Holy Spirit. This is the reason we have the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because it always points us to Christ. If we will choose to allow it to do so in our life. And how normally does he point us to Christ? It's normally through the truth of God's word. Why do you think there is so much invitation and command as we read and study to study the word of God? Because this is how the Holy Spirit helps to point us to the righteousness and security that we have in Christ. So that our obedience then to the word of God, that this is our refuge from judgment. You don't believe me? The next time you feel something come upon you that you just don't think you can handle anymore, get the Bible out. Say, Lord, show me, direct me, and he'll show you through his word. Well, most of us pick the telephone up before we pick the Bible up. And we think our neighbor has a better answer than God. So, but go to the word of God. It's our obedience to the word of God. This is what guides us, because the Holy Spirit is using that to guide us through our life. So this not just only guides us, but the Holy Spirit uses us to show us our freedom. The Holy Spirit uses us to show us our purpose in life. The Holy Spirit uses it to show us where we are at in our relationship with God. So the one thing that we must always remember, which as believers, we have a hard time remembering because we think conviction is taking us to a place that we don't want to go. But remember, conviction by the Holy Spirit, there is no shame in being convicted by the Holy Spirit. None at all. Because he's not trying to shame us, but he's trying to transform us. He's trying to help us in our relationship with God. He's trying to bring us into a deeper relationship with God. So instead of pushing away the godly convictions or trying to run from the godly convictions, we should be embracing the godly convictions. We should be asking the Holy Spirit to convict us more every day of our life so that we might grow stronger in the Lord. So this means that now we're going to allow God to control everything in our life. Everything. And when we begin to do this, the result is going to be one that we see that now we have a purpose. We have a purpose for what God is trying to do for us in our life. And anytime that we find our purpose, anytime that we allow our light to shine so that others may see the good works of God through our salvation, then we are now going to be not just living a life that is full of godly conviction, but we're going to be living a life that brings glory to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, this morning. Lord, we're thankful for those who have come out this morning, Lord, those who are watching online, listening, Lord, on the phone. We're just so thankful that your word can go out, Heavenly Father. We're thankful for every church this morning, Lord, that has made an effort to speak of your salvation, to show others what your salvation is truly all about. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we continue on through this day and through the days coming up in the following week, Heavenly Father, that we'll learn to see our godly convictions, Lord. We'll learn to embrace those things in our life, and we'll learn to turn to your word, to be obedient to your word, so that we might understand the surety of what our salvation is truly all about. We just pray this day, Lord, that as you continue to be with us, Heavenly Father, as we continue to live our life, we pray that is pleasing unto thee. As we continue, Lord, to make choices, Heavenly Father, that would be pleasing unto you. We would just pray that you would continue, Lord, to help us to follow after the leadership and the guidance of that Holy Spirit of promise that we are sealed with, Heavenly Father. We just pray this day that you would forgive us where we have sinned. Lord, help us not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
All right. Does anybody else have anything this morning? Remember, Bible study Thursday evening will be here. And we're going to continue on through the end of the Church of Thyatira. And hopefully move on to the next one. So come out. We are supposed to be, I almost forgot, we are supposed to be, Dad brought this up, so if you want, blame him, if you want to blame me, buddy. So the three places in the Bible you'll find the word Christian. Now there's a reason for that. Then you only find it in three places. So what we want to know is, what is that all about? And how is it used differently today than it was used back there? And I'll give you a hint. The three places, two of them are in Acts. One of them's in 1 Peter. So bring what you found, and we're going to talk about that for just a little bit. Okay, anybody else? If not, we'll stand, praise the Lord three times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all for joining in on the phone. All right. Have a good day.